I'm going to take my cue from Jesus here today and talk about death. We rarely talk about it because it's a difficult topic. And when we do, we either speak in abstract terms or sometimes, especially in our Christian context, we speak about death in ways that talk around it rather than talking through the reality of death. Can be disturbing for most of us, including me, to live with the truth that every living thing will one day die. I'm not saying we should live our lives in a morbid preoccupation with death, but what I'm saying is that if we don't talk about it, we can delude ourselves about the reality of life as beautiful human beings on this earth. Jesus wasn't afraid to talk about dying. In fact, he bravely talked very openly about his own impending death on many occasions. And almost every time he told them that he knew he was going to die, his friends didn't want to hear about it. No, Jesus. Even 2,000 years ago, when death came earlier and seems like it was probably much more of a communal experience than it is right now. From the evidence we have in the stories, there's always pushback when Jesus spoke the truth about death. And he spoke very openly about it. And maybe there's a lesson we can learn from Jesus here today. I think there is. I can't remember when I first heard this passage from the Gospel of John. It was probably in Sunday school when I was a kid in the Lutheran church that I was brought up in. I know that in my memory, in the telling of this story, all of the emphasis was placed on what happens after we die, not on the death itself. That's the Sunday school version. It's meant to give children hope and comfort in the face of death. But looking back on it now, I think it had the exact opposite effect, for me anyway. It only made the thought of death even scarier. And that made this world a threatening, frightening place to live. And pretty quickly, I rejected this story, that life was only a journey to what was on the other side of death. And so I threw the baby out with the bathwater and quit going to church for a very, very long time. The story just didn't work for me, not framed like that. And it still doesn't. I do remember when this passage, though, struck me with its full power, kind of hit me with both barrels, if you will. So I was in a comparative literature class in my freshman year in college. And I took that class very intentionally because I read the course description and saw that we were going to be spending the first half of the semester reading The Brothers Karamazov. And I wanted to read Dostoevsky because I was enamored, as perhaps only a freshman in college can be enamored, with the thought of, with the ideas of existentialism. And I'd read that he was an existentialist. You know, it was the early 70s. I thought reading Dostoevsky would be groovy. And it was. And maybe you can and maybe you can't imagine my surprise when I opened the book, turned to the page before the story began, and there was a dedication to his wife, Anna Grigorievna Dostoevsky, and there was this epigraph. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. John 12:24. I can't tell you why this passage has haunted me for the rest of my life up to this point. I can only tell you that it has. And my initial reaction was, what is a quote from Jesus doing here anyway? I thought this was going to be an atheistic tome. My second reaction was, what can this possibly mean? And that is what has stuck with me. Our translation reads a little bit differently. It reads like this. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Well, what can this possibly mean? Die to bear much fruit. If the seed doesn't fall into the earth and die, it lives alone. Well, one thing I know for certain is my rational mind can't make any sense out of any of this. And boy, am I invested in my rational mind. I like to think that I can think my way through anything. It's a big part of my identity. Maybe it's a big part of some of yours, too. And maybe, like me, your identity, that person you thought you were, has been challenged or broken or perhaps died in this last year. I said maybe because I kind of wanted to qualify it and soften it a little bit, but I really do believe that death has been our shared experience in this year of pandemic. It's been the longest, most excruciating year that I can remember. And I've had it relatively easy, right? I mean, I've dodged the COVID bullet. I haven't missed a single paycheck. None of my family has gotten sick. But I have friends who have lost family members. I have friends who ended up in the hospital. I have friends whose businesses have failed. I have friends who have had to make hard decisions as couples about whether to stay together or to split up under the pressure of living in a world where nothing makes sense in the same way that it did before. I have friends who have had to figure out how to keep their children's education moving forward in the classroom or at the kitchen table. I have friends who teach school who have no idea about whether or when it was safe or prudent to go back to the classrooms and yet figured out how to do their jobs. I have friends who used to spend hours of their lives volunteering for the good of others who don't even have that opportunity available to them anymore. And it seems to me that the thing we fear and that we're so reluctant to talk about, death, is tied to the fear of losing who we are. Who am I after I die? Who are my loved ones now that they are dead? Who am I when I am no longer the person that I thought I was? Is it any wonder that most of us don't know who we are anymore half the time? I've heard it said over and over this year, I refuse to stop living my life. Okay, me too. I've done my best to keep breathing. But my question is, which life are we talking about here? Is it the life that you identify yourself with, the one that you've worked so hard to maintain before everything changed? Or is that new life a life of hope and possibility, one that actually bears much fruit? Okay, let's say we're all seeds. Oh, I know, we'd like to believe that we're something much grander and more fully formed than a seed, than a humble little seed. We'd rather see ourselves as something a bit grander, maybe a lodgepole pine or a cottonwood tree or a deer or an elk or a grizzly. Or maybe we'd really like to hang on to that image that each one of us has of ourselves, who we are and who we should be. But let's say what we really are seeds. Small, hardy, insignificant looking, but full of potential. Let's even say that, seeds that we are, we contain everything within us that is necessary to sprout and to grow and to bear fruit. Well, Jesus says that's exactly who we are. But here's the deal. Unless you're willing to fall into the earth and go really deeply through the process of death, just as I am about to do, Jesus speaking, unless you're willing to do that, you're going to go it alone. If you resist death, you're going to be alone, which means separate from God and separate from everybody else. And nobody wants to be alone. I mean, we'll do almost anything not to feel alone, except maybe for accepting and talking about death, the one thing that we all have in common. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die, goes the old saying. And Jesus is telling us that we don't get one without the other. So is it possible to broaden our view of what's been going on in our lives and in the world in this last year, to recognize the death that we've been going through, not to minimize it or to explain it away, but to live fully into it in the hope that Jesus was right? Then our going to ground and shedding the identities that we've lived with, in dying to our old lives, as painful and as frightening as that death has been, the seeds of our true natures, our true selves, are already germinated and sprouting. That's the hope. That's the promise that I hear in this verse today. The brilliance of this passage is especially powerful now in a way that it might not have been had we not gone through the past year together, apart. It feels like a seed that was planted a long, long time ago and that now is about to sprout and grow, and it's already bearing some fruit, though a new, strange fruit, different from any that we've ever tasted. Well, it's spring in Jackson Hole. The snow has stopped for the moment. And that means that it's another in-between time when we're not certain what the weather will be like when we wake up tomorrow morning. We're a year into the pandemic. Is it over yet? Who knows? I sure don't. Enough death already. Can't we start sprouting now? Well, yes and no. Because we know that spring will come. It'll be quick, and then it'll be summer. And we know that the pandemic will eventually pass. And because we know the story, we also know that Jesus died a long, slow, agonizing death, and then rested 3 days in the tomb. That must have been a relief. Of course, we all want to skip forward to Easter, to the blooming, to the day that the suffering is over and life gets back to normal. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. In our story, it's still Lent. And we're looking at our mortality straight in the face today with Jesus at our side. Here's a new saying to try on for size. Everybody wants Easter, but nobody wants the cross. We don't get one without the other. In our Lenten practice this year, we've been trying to live into, to accept, even perhaps to embrace change. Many of the changes we've gone through have been forced upon us. They were not our choice. We seem to like change as long as the choice is ours. And I think we all resist it when we feel powerless. And here's the message I hear from Jesus in this verse, passed down through a couple of thousand years, as fresh to my ear today as it was when it was spoken, fresher for me than I've ever heard it. Death is real. There's no getting around it. We've all got to go through it, and we've all been going through it, and we're all grieving. And Jesus is telling us that there is a seed in every human being, you and me included, that will sprout if we accept this fact. If we're willing to go through the unknowing and the pain and spend 3 days or perhaps a long winter or perhaps a year in the dark, stripped of our identity, the identity that we've held on to for so long, if we're willing to do that, there is new life on the other side. There is a life that will not just be living in the old familiar ways, but real life, fruitful life. So I hear you, Jesus, and I see you, friends. I share your pain, and I know that this is true. Amen.